Really? All right, so this is going to be do not corrupt the pureness of God's word. We start in Matthew 4. So if you have a Bible or a phone Bible, feel free to go to Matthew 4:4, familiar scripture. You could say subtitled this, say what the word says only. Matthew 4:4, we open with, but he answered and said, which is a beautiful figure of speech. It's usually just can answer, or you could say, but he answered and said is really a unique Hebrewism. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, he needs pizza every now and then. Instead of living on manna, on food, on bread, he should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a much better way to live. Look at Matthew 22. I tried to keep some of this together. So Matthew 22:29. Since religious season ended last Sunday, we have more time. That's football season. We have more of an opportunity to get into the Word of God, so we may take a couple extra minutes today, since nobody has to rush home and root for their favorite team, or against their favorite team. So, Matthew 22:29, we read, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. I don't know about you, but I don't like to make mistakes. I do not like to err. Especially when it comes to those two subjects, knowing the Scriptures and the power of God. They're both needed, and we need not err because we've been taught how to read the Word, how the Word interprets itself, how to live the Word, and understanding the power of God. So with that, we got to go to John 17. These are all introductory verses. John 17:17, very familiar Scripture, as many of these will be. Except when I get into stoning somebody here in a little bit. But anyway, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Okay, Patty asked last week, what's truth? Well, according to the Bible, God's truth, Jesus Christ is true, and the word of God is true. Can't go wrong on any of those. So then we can make things up about all of them. No, we can't. That's what we're trying not to do or want to do, and we'll see why as we continue on. The Word of God is truth. That's why we should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a good thing. And since we're in the vicinity, look at John 5:39, a Lucky Strike extra verse. John 5:39, a great encouragement. And we read 5:39, search the Scriptures. Well, we don't want to err, do we? So maybe we ought to search the Scriptures. Right? Because you think you get eternal life from the Scriptures. A lot of people think they got eternal life from a lot of different ways. I choose to see what the truth tells me. And they are they which testify of me. So Jesus Christ, the Scriptures testify of him and his accomplishments, and we are to search them, the end result being just eternal life. Okay? So with that, we go to Deuteronomy 12. No, we don't. We go to Psalm 12. I was going to open with these, and then I changed my whole lines. Psalm 12. I hate it when you get it all together and God says, no, do it this way. Yeah. Not really. It always seems to fit better. Psalm 12:6. We just saw that the word is truth, and we are to study it. And it says in Psalm 12:6 again, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So we want the pureness of the word, not a mixture, a synchronism, where you mix other thought into it. We got Simon the Sorcerer, the first guy who brought in Greek thought called Gnosticism into Christianity, and he's the one who started it, mixing it together. And before long, you have a church in Rome that's way got all kinds of things as it continues on. Well, we don't want to be guilty of any of those type of things. So what we want to do is look at the pureness of the Word of God and let it speak for itself because it's pure. It's unmixed. We don't want to add anything to it. That's why so many people have Greek thought on what hell is. You know, you got a guy with horns and a tail standing over watching everybody burn and all of that. That's all Dante's Inferno. That's all Greek thought. It's all, but you trace it back to Gnosticism when they introduced Greek thought, and then it continued to get wilder and wilder. But so many people believe things like that. Even Bugs Bunny cartoons have stuff like that portrayed in it. You know. Okay, Psalm 18:30. We're in the neighborhood, 18:30. In light of all of this, as for God, since we're talking about God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. So, the word of the Lord is tried. It works. It's pure. And His way is perfect. You know, if you got somebody, I don't know about you, but when I learn how to do something right, I don't want to deviate from it and try something else. If I can get it done right, you know, then I just continue to maintain it. Well, God is saying, look, my way's perfect. Follow what I have then. If you trust in Him. All right, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. In light of what we're looking at, Proverbs 30, verse 5 tells us, every word of God is pure. So then, should we pick and choose what we want to believe?
No.
Should we pick and choose what we think should be in there? No. Every word of God is pure, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. That's the word buckler. The shield, He's a shield, He's a buckler, and all of those that trust in Him. So verse 6, a tremendous verse. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's, I think it kind of interprets itself right where it's written, right? Add thou not unto His words. All right, so we're going to spin off of that by going to Deuteronomy 12, because we don't want to corrupt the Word of God by adding to it or subtracting from it. Deuteronomy 12, 29. All right, that's where we'll start. And in Deuteronomy 12, 29, God is telling Moses, and Moses is going to lay this out to the people. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, I've given you the promised land, and all those nations are yours. So when you get in there, and the Lord thy God works with you and for you, when the Lord shall cut off the nations from before thee, where you're going to go in and possess them? Did you build the houses? Did you plant the vineyards? Did you, you know, all the distilleries are there. Everything's there, right? Okay. You didn't have to do anything. Just the people won't be there. So, first one in town gets the best seat, or the best house, or the best... You know, that's one of the ways you used to get wealth in the old days. You'd go plunder. Right, you can't do that today very often in this country. Unless you're, well, I won't say anything. So, all right, so... When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and you dwell in that land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee. Why take up their ways when they've lost? They've been destroyed. And that thou inquire not about their gods. Say, what are the gods of the land here? They didn't do a very good job, and I want to know about them. Saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. No. That's what we're after here. The true God is going to fight for them and give them all of that. And when you get into nation, one of the things He had them do was destroy all the pictures and all the statues and all the everything so that they aren't tempted to ask about them. Go, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Let's all be Jedi Knights. Or something. The last survey 10 years ago, there were over 600,000 people who were of the religion of Jediism. So it's probably going to go up quite a bit, you know. Here. So, but that's what people do who don't have the foundation of the Word of God. So let's go into the nation. So don't do that. Verse 31 says, thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination of the Lord, which He hates, have they done unto their gods. So why would you want to learn about other gods that are abomination of the true God? For example, here's what they have done. Even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. I kind of like not having to do that. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. We kind of read that earlier, but it's very clear again in the context of serving other gods. What things soever I command you. Well, we got the truth, so he's already commanded us. Observe to do it. Don't add to it. Don't diminish from it. Don't give your opinion. Read what it says. How about 13:1? Now, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder even comes to pass, whereof he spake, but here's what the sign or wonder is he wants you to do. Let's go after other gods, which thou hast not known. Let's go serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. You should keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. Now, I can't do that anymore, but in the Old Testament, that's kind of how they got rid of things. Justice was swift. There wasn't any lawyers around. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, which redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shall I put the evil away from the midst of thee. So if there's a prophet that says, God has spoken to me, let's go chase another god, it was okay in the Old Testament to throw him down a well or something. Actually, stone him. Everybody had good baseballs back then. They could throw them. But let's keep reading. How about if your brother or the son of thy mother or thy son or thy daughter or the wife of thy bosom or thy friend, which is as thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known. Thou know thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you. They're near unto thee, or far away from thee, from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him. Neither shalt thou I pity him. Neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. And thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. So you don't even pity him. You know, they're enticing you to walk away from the true God because they're adding another God. And there's only one God. Mark 7. So, in the Old Testament, God took it very seriously. He had the children of Israel to take it very seriously. So, seriously, shouldn't we take it seriously? Okay. Mark 7:1. Let's see what we have here in the Gospel of Mark. 7:1. Ah, the Pharisees. Good, upstanding group of people. Mark 7:1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. They came to Jesus in Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, if that would read holding the commandment of God, that would be a little different, wouldn't it? But that's not what they're holding. They're holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Boy, you think Jesus just kind of smiled and go, oh, open door.
It's coming.
Yes, and it starts in the next verse. Why are they not doing the tradition of the elders? And he answered and said unto them, I think I'll quote the word. Well has Isaiah the prophet of you said, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain, to no purpose do they worship me. Why? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Well, does that sound like something that we should be doing? Absolutely not. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other things, such things you do. You put aside the word of God for your tradition. The commandment of God versus the tradition of men. They chose the tradition of men. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift or a gift offering, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer me, allow him no more to do aught for their father or his mother, making purpose in result of what tradition you specifically said. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Making, though, the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Man. Basically, what was happening is there's the fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, even when they get old, or especially when they get old. Yeah. But what the Pharisees were saying is that if you just declare it as Corban, as a gift, you can, instead of taking care of them, the money you would have invested in your parents, you can give us into the temple, and we'll take care of it, and you're free from that commandment. Oh. Yeah. Nice racket if you can do it. And the Pharisees were getting away with it, but that's what, you know, Jesus called them on, that tradition. So, that is very meaningful about adding to the Word of God. Look at Acts 23. So, they added the traditions and above the Word of God, and the Word of God became of no effect. But what difference does it make? Here, look at this one in Acts 23:8. For the Sadducees, the other big ruling party of that day and time, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. And there's no angels, and there's no spirit that God gives anybody, but the Pharisees confess both. Now let me ask you a question. Subtracting the resurrection out of the equation, would that be a good thing? No. Isn't, you know, salvation based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Believing God got him up from the dead? So if you believe what the Sadducees have subtracted from the Word of God, do you have a right dividing of the Word of God? There's no resurrection. There's not any angels. There's no spirit that God's going to give you to help you. Let's do the traditions of the elders then. Okay, so somebody wanted to add, it stopped the Word of God from being effect. These guys are going to keep people, you know, literally from getting born again later on, from subtracting from the Word. What would you like to add to the Word? What would you like to subtract from the Word? Zero on both commandments. We want to read and do what the Word says. 1 Corinthians 1. Because we'll start seeing problems happen when people start doing that. 1 Corinthians 1. We could be like those in Thessalonica, though, right? When somebody teaches the word, we check it to see if it's, you know, we're more noble than them. Right? They search the word daily in Acts 17:11. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, though, which is what we are encouraged to do. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God doesn't change. I mean, we can stick with him. We know his word is pure. By whom you were called unto the fellowship, the full sharing of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Why are there divisions? Why? Because it's telling us right there. If we speak the same thing, would there be a division? No. So what should we speak? Same thing. Oh, the ways of the Pharisees, right? No. The ways, what the Word says. Then we won't have to deal with divisions. We can be perfectly joined together, same mind, same judgment, because we'll say what the Word says. But there is no resurrection. No, we want a resurrection. Galatians 1. Well, the whole book of Galatians we could read here, but we'll just read half of it. There's so much, obviously, in this book that deals with this subject. Galatians 1:6 is where we'll start on this subject. All right. Galatians 1:6 says, I marvel. I am completely flabbergasted. I can't really believe that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's just, I love the fact that God had Paul write this down. You know, I marvel that you didn't last very long in grace. You know, but you turned to another gospel, a different gospel. Well, how many gospels are there? One. And they went to a different one, which is not another, right? Which is not an acceptable alternative, is how that reads. This other gospel that you've turned to is not an acceptable alternative to the true gospel. But there be some that trouble you. There are some that are agitating you, and they're trying to pervert or alter the gospel of Christ. Would the gospel of Christ be accurate? Would we have it correctly if we alter the gospel of Christ? No. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, or any other gospel unto you than that which we've already preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's saying, I don't care who it is. You want to get into spiritual powers? Even if an angel shows up and says, oh no, what you taught was wrong. No, what we taught you was right, was accurate. Get back to that. As we said, therefore, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, he's trying to make a point here, saying it again, then that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, what I initially brought here and taught you, was not, which was preached of me, it's not after man. I didn't, you know, get it in the middle of the night in a dream. It's not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3. He didn't make it up. Galatians 3:1. Very clear? 3:1 says, Galatia is in the territory today known as Turkey. So really, this should read, oh, foolish turkeys. Who has bewitched you? And that's really what it is. Who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Are you so senseless? Do you not have a brain in your head? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect? Are you finished by the flesh? You know, have you suffered or experienced so many things to no purpose? If it be yet in vain? You know, hey, you received the Spirit. How did you get that? Believing. Yeah. That's it. End of argument. Now, to finish it, you have to do works. Got to go back under the law. You guys couldn't do the law in the first place. All right. Chapter 5. Verse 1. A great exhortation. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is another terminology for the law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand in liberty, because Christ has freed us with freedom. This is how Walter translates that. He's freed us with freedom. I like that. I like to be freed with freedom. All right? And don't be entangled again with the bondage. You know, you started with believing. Don't go back underneath it. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ's going to profit you? Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, then go ahead and do the whole law. I dare you. Try it. Christ has become of no effect then. His accomplishments mean nothing unto you. Whatsoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen, or you've drifted away from grace. I don't want to drift away from grace. Somebody prayed about grace earlier. Mary mentioned, was that, you mentioned grace early on? Excellent. We like grace. Grace is a good thing. Law is not that good, especially when the police stop us. Okay. Fallen from grace. We don't want to fall from grace. But we, through the Spirit, wait, or patiently wait. We have to be patient on this one. For we through the Spirit patiently wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. None of those things has any force. But you know what does work? Believing, which is energized by love. There's your law. Believing energized by love, which is above it. So you did run well. You were doing really great. You were running well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What's the truth? God, Jesus Christ, and the Word. You were running well, and now all of a sudden you're not obeying the truth. This persuasion comes not of him that called you. By the way, a little leaven does leaven the whole lump. But I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Whoever's trying to introduce something to draw disciples after themselves, if anybody wants to change the pureness of the Word of God, I kind of like what Paul has to say. Get back to the truth. Get away from the law. Get away from people who are doing that. Stick with the pureness of the Word of God. Go to Colossians. Colossians? Colossians. Colossians 2. So, we want to stay in the pureness of the Word. That's the safest place to be. And a lot of great and wonderful things will happen when we do that. But there's a lot of people out there and a lot of things that are out there that are trying to get us away from the pureness of the Word. So we go to Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as you have been taught. Have we been taught? Sure. We've been taught to read the Word, to study the Word. We've been taught the keys out of the Bible interprets itself. And we, you know, no private interpretation. We don't have an answer on something. Wait. I was with a teaching doctor did years ago, and he goes, yeah, I must have 200, 250 scriptures I don't understand. And I went, thank you. I've come across a lot of scriptures I'm not quite sure how to handle. And when he said that, I thought, you know, that's awesome. I'm not alone in this. So I can make something up. That's what Bruce Mahone said one time. He goes, you want people to think you're really spiritually sharp? Take an obscure verse, give a really wild explanation of it, and people will think you really got it together when it comes to researching the Word. No, we don't want to do any of those type of things. It's the pureness of the Word. So, meanwhile, we're back in Colossians. So, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, so you can abound therein with thanksgiving. But beware. So, like every time he encourages us, he throws out the beware part. Everything is great and wonderful. However, be sharp. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Beware lest any man spoil you through going to college, through the philosophies of the world and vain deceit. Don't let anybody lead you away as a captive from arguing, you know, about philosophy, the world wisdom, and vain deceit or vain deception, empty deception, that it's after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. I really hate to break this to you, but the earth really is round.
Yeah.
It's not flat. You know, but the traditions of men, the deceitfulness of what the world wants to throw out there and its philosophy to talk you out of the simplicity in Christ. Boy, you get cheated when we start allowing the fear of the world and the craziness that's out there to supersede. So if we're not picking up the book regularly and instead we're looking at other things too much, sometimes we fall for the philosophy and vain deceptions of the world, and then we don't, even after the tradition of men, and we saw the Pharisees and their traditions, right? Well, what did it profit them? Christ called them out. No traditions of men, but after the rudiments, let me start at 8 again. Beware, because this is out there. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. You are completely filled in him who is the head of all principality and power. Would you like to stick with that one who's the head of all principality or power, or fall for somewhere along the line? Yeah. Okay, well, verse 16, jump down to 16. 16 says, let no man therefore judge you in food or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Those are all things that people want to put you under the law. They want to run your life. They want to tell you what to eat, what to drink, what to put on your pizza, you know, and respect the holy days and the new moons and all the holidays and all this. No, they're just a shadow of things to come. The body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you. All right, don't let anybody rob you of your reward. We're talking reward for all eternity. Don't let anybody rob you of your eternal rewards by a voluntary or a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding or stepping into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, by, you know, the old man nature. We can make it sound really good. They're going to intrude into getting you to worship angels and all kinds of other things, but it's a voluntary humility. Oh, you know, I used to think that way too, but, you know, I've learned more since then. You know, that's what it's talking about there. Don't beware. Don't let anybody beguile you because they don't hold the head. Verse 19, in not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to the ordinances then? We all died with Christ. We're all raised with Christ. So why are we back under the law? And what the world is telling us to do, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show. They have an appearance of wisdom. That sounds really smart, but it contradicts the word. Which things indeed have an appearance, a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So basically it looks good. It sounds good, but it's all based upon the flesh. It's all do this, don't do that, touch this, don't touch that. Make sure you drive exactly what the government tells you to do and things like that. And it's like, why? You've been freed. It doesn't mean you can go out and drive 100 miles an hour in your Jaguar all the time, your Jaguar all the time or something. Yes. Bob's got a couple of them. That's why I brought that up. 1 Timothy. This will be the last book we go to, the two Timothys, but there's so much in here on the subject that we'll have to look at them for a few moments. Hopefully you can bear with me. But if you need to go to the land of Nod, feel free, and it'll be on our webpage sometime in the future. 1 Timothy 1:5. All right. Awful lot in the books of Timothy on this subject. 1 Timothy 1:5. All right. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. What did you do last night? Oh, I did a lot of vain jangling. Idle talk. Right? What is that? Nonsensical discussions. I often think of Facebook. That's part of why I'm not on there. I think that could easily fall into that category sometimes. You know? I'm not judging. I just think of that periodically. Because some having swerved from the commandment of love, coming from a pure heart and a good conscience, believing unfeigned, to get into vain janglings, idle talk. They swerve from the truth because you start taking on everybody else's gods and information and opinion and philosophy. I'd rather just spend the night reading the word. Get a little bit more out of it than that. Not heavy into vain jangling these days. All right, chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. You know, nonsensical discussion. If I wanted that, I could talk to AJ, right? Aaron Jr. He's... over 1 year old. I could have a good discussion with him. I'm on his wavelength. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So if you got a boss that you really don't care, too bad. Give them the honor that's due them. That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed or scandalized. You know, you're acting unscriptural because your boss is unscriptural. But if you got a believing master, you know, if you work for Ed or Aaron, they that have believing masters, let them not, you know, despise them. You know, speak disparaging of them. God, Ed, I can't believe you're having, you know, because they don't disparagingly. You know, Bob and I talk vain janglings about Aaron all the time. But no, we don't. That Bob. So no, whether you got a boss that, you know, serves the Lord Jesus Christ or one that doesn't, you know, don't let the word be, you know, work from the heart. Don't let them not disparagingly or despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things then tell the other people who work with you. Teach and exhort. And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words or healthy words. So if somebody's teaching something outside of what the word says, are they teaching healthy or wholesome words? No. Whose words? Why, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Here is what that individual is who won't stay put on wholesome words. Proud, knowing nothing, doting about questions, strifes of words, and because of that, what do we get? Love, peace.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, you get envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, or evil suspicions. You get word battles, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. I love talking to people who are destitute of the truth. No! It's idle talk! It's vain jangling. Because they suppose that, you know, any kind of gains godliness. Whatever kind of gain you get, it's okay. Now, withdraw yourself. I just don't have time to spend with people like that. Let's move on. Same chapter, verses 20 and 21. Oh, Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:20. Timothy, keep or guard that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, or avoiding profane, useless discussions. I like doing that. I just kind of smile and nod and don't want to waste my time. Just guard what's committed to your trust. And how do you do that? By avoiding profane, useless discussions and opposition. Science is the word, you know, it's epigenosis, it's knowledge. And oppositions of knowledge, falsely so-called. It's not real knowledge. You know, you got lots of fake scientists out there. I mean, you know, Bill Nye, the science guy, he's an actor. I'm sorry, I don't take his science. You know, the people, you know, you got, you know, sports figures and Hollywood people constantly giving their opinions on things they don't have a clue on. Oh, I played this role once. What does that make you an expert on? But you got to have the shoe because I really don't wear them when I play basketball, but I make a lot of money on my contract. So you need to wear these shoes. Okay, so we just need to, why spend time with all of that? Guard the deposit that you've been given. It's been committed to your trust. Guard it. And avoid profane, useless discussions, oppositions of knowledge, falsely so-called. You know, like I said earlier, the earth being flat. Verse 21, which some professing have erred or deviated concerning the faith. Those who get into false knowledges, lots of useless discussions, they deviate from the faith. I don't want to deviate from the faith. I want to stay rooted on the faith. Okay, 2 Timothy. Last book, but most of it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13. Here's something you can do. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So hang on to sound words, healthy words. Grab hold of them. All right? That's a great exhortation. Then chapter 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong, what Mary's talking about, grace. that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in grace. I like that. That way you can also help others be strong in grace instead of you be legalistic on everybody else. We're to be strong in grace in our lives and the lives of others. And by the way, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. If you go back to the same, do you add or subtract from it?
No.
No. The same commit thou to faithful men and women. Find faithful, trustworthy men and women and commit the accuracy of the word to them, and they can then turn around and they're able to teach others also. Speaking of which, the first Wednesday fellowship will be back available tomorrow at Tiny McGarry's house. So that's available tomorrow. So they're moving it back tomorrow.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Isn't this Tuesday night? Okay. Wednesday night fellowship is back at Andrew, Jessica, and Marley's house. So at what time do they normally fellowship?
7:30.
You're teaching?
Yes.
Aaron's teaching. So he will teach wholesome words, by God. Healthy words, sound words. And he'll teach the same because he's endeavoring to teach others also, like his three little children. Okay, moving on to chapter 2, verse 11. 2:11. This is a faithful saying. This is a trustworthy saying. You can believe this. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll also will deny us. And that's in the aspect of deny his accomplishments. Well, he has no point. He has no choice. He has to deny us if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he can't deny himself. I mean, you know, nobody wants to believe. He still did it. Of these things, put them in remembrance. I'm putting you in remembrance of these things, by God. Charging them before the Lord that you strive not about words to no profit. You know, unprofitable word battles. Do we like, you know, you're telling me that you have two brothers, one's a doctor and one's an athlete, and they had a discussion, and when the doctor started throwing out heavy words, the athlete could do only what he could only come back with what he has.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Want to arm wrestle?
Yeah.
You know. Okay, we don't want to get caught up in word battles. All right, it's just totally a waste of time. All right, so, because that's a faithful saying. So, of these things, put them in remembrance, charge them before the Lord. You strive not about words to no profit. How many like to go to work and not get paid? All right, well, words to no profit falls in that category. You know what happens with them? Well, the rest of the verse. It comes to the subverting of the hearers. It overthrows those who are listening in. See, it overthrew her trust in her two brothers because she had to listen in. Okay, but that's what happens, you know? If Dan and I go at it and everything, it just it's not profitable because it's a word battle and that we can subvert the believing of others who are sitting here who are listening, not sleeping. So instead of that, why don't we do verse 15? Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But also, you could, isn't that a great verse in light of this context? So to do that, study the word and then avoid or shun profane and vain babblings. I don't like vain babblings. I try to avoid useless discussions as much as I can. So, you know, you can get involved in all of that, but avoid profane and vain babblings. Why? They will increase unto more ungodliness. The world's got a lot of ungodliness out there. We don't need to add to it. We want to encourage people towards godliness. So they'll advance ungodliness. And their word will eat like a gangrene, a canker of these two guys, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Does anybody want to go into that category?
No.
Then we should do verse what 15 says, study. Who concerning the truth about God, about the word, about Jesus Christ, they erred, saying the resurrection is past already. They didn't go quite as far as the Sadducees who said there's no resurrection, but it already happened and you got missed. That's what they're teaching.
Later.
Right. You guys get missed. You guys didn't keep the law. The resurrection's passed already. And because of that teaching, these are people who listen to them, they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. That's it. Get back to God's word. The foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Jump down to 23. 23 says, oh, look, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Why does he keep having to bring this up? I guess television wasn't invented yet, so they just had nothing to do except interact amongst each other. But foolish and unlearned questions, uneducated controversies, avoid them. Avoid foolish and uneducated controversies, knowing that, you know what they do? They generate strifes. They give birth to fights. Now, I had two older brothers growing up, and I was real good at generating strife between them, but that's not what we should be doing now. All right. Instead, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Instead, they should be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient. You know, this is in the context of able to endure evil. You're able to endure evil. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I like Doctor's literal of that. It says, in meekness, instructing those that are screwing themselves up. They're their own worst enemy. I thought that was a great literal of that. In meekness, instructing those that are screwing themselves up, that are their own worst enemy, so to speak. If God peradventure then will give them repentance of the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When he needs to use somebody, he just does. But if you can get them back into the word via meekness, maybe they'll change. All right, chapter 3. We'll close with chapter 3. However, we have to read all of chapter 3. So know this. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? I don't know. Any day after Pentecost started the last days. Mm-hmm. So I always get a kick out of that when people say that. The signs are with us. He's coming. Well, we don't really know. But we do know, really, it's perilous times. For men are going to be lovers of their own selves. Were they that way in the first or second or third centuries? Mm-hmm. Well, they probably are the same thing today. Men are lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, or slanderers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. You know, heady there basically is heathenistic. Well, I said that's part of lovers of pleasure. Excuse me, I got to get the right heathen part in here. Traitors, heady, which is reckless, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's your hedonistic stuff. But they do have a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, spend all the time in the world with them. No, turn away. For of this sort are they, which creep into houses and lead captive flighty women, laden with sins, led away within divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. You know, you got somebody who thinks they're somebody, they come in and they start talking, and everybody who's been, knows the truth. It was okay, well, God bless you. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. In fact, persecutions, afflictions which come upon me wherever I go, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions have I endured? But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that will or decide to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil people and seducers or impostors are going to wax worse and worse, misleading and being misled. So what do you should do about all that? Continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, that you put your trust in, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, from infancy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. A lot of our children have been raised in the Word. From a young age, they've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You want some wisdom unto salvation? Holy Scriptures, through believing, through Christ Jesus. By the way, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or equipped, throughly or fully equipped unto all good works. You are equipped to do whatever it is God needs you to do. So, in conclusion, stand fast on the pureness of the truth, which is the Word of God. And do not swerve from it by adding to or subtracting from it. Watch. Be careful. Because if you add to the Word or subtract to the Word, it leads to many evils and much useless wasted time and divisions away from Christ's message of love, of completeness, of properly believing the Scriptures and getting the results of the rest that you get through His accomplishments. And it will lead us to a proper knowledge and understanding of our Heavenly Father, the true God, the one God, the only God, who wants to interact with us daily. So, Father, thank you for your Word, and we don't want to add to it. We don't want to subtract to it. We want to say what it says and live by it, and we're grateful that we can in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.